please join me in the spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today we're going to be focusing on the reading from the Hebrew Bible, the book of Ruth. And before I do that, I'm wondering if people here are curious as to why the passage from Ruth is paired up with the passage from Mark. And there's a reason for that. As you'll recall, I talked about this, that when the people who are responsible for assembling the lectionary wanted to take us through the Bible over the course of 3 years, and they tried to pair up the Hebrew Bible lesson with the New Testament with some themes that would be common, so the lessons for the day would cohere. Sometimes they did a really good job of it, and sometimes they really, really stretched. And I think here, there seems to be an element of stretching, but there is also something that coheres. On one level, and we'll visit the passage from Mark later this month on Stewardship Sunday, there's something about the motivation, the desire to do what is right by God and to help others. There's also the lineage, and that was a big deal to people living in the ancient world. And frankly, it's still a big deal to people today. We wonder about people's ancestors, where they came from, who their people were. And so here's the lineage that is showing us that Ruth is a forebear of David. Now, we in the Christian church will take that a step further and then say, this shows us that Ruth was a forebear of Jesus because David was one of the ancestors of Jesus. To which I have to say, big whoop. God's not focused on our bloodlines. God is not focused on where we come from. And when I read the story, I was reminded of a vignette that was in Cleveland Amory's book, The Proper Bostonians, in which a young man from Boston went to New York and went to a bank looking for a job, and he hoped to get a good position, and he presented his credentials, which included his CV, but also his family background. And the banker looked at the young man and he said, "Son, I'm looking to hire a banker, not you a horse." And there's something about that here in this passage, that lineage is so important. But I think what we really need to focus on are the motivations of Naomi and Ruth and what they brought to their lives. This story shows us a lot that was wrong with the ancient world and how it was structured. If you're a woman reading this passage, you can think, go Naomi, you're really a good person. But you can also feel like she's getting the short end of the stick, because if she doesn't have a husband, she has no security. And God is not focused on the way we think things should be. The lesson we should draw from Ruth was one of commitment and fidelity. She cared about her family more than she cared about her background. You'll remember that Israel and Judah were enemies with Moab. And the family of Elimelech decided to leave their home in Bethlehem to go find a more secure future in Moab when the famine hit. Now, that was a pretty big deal because they were going into the territory of their enemy. And then the sons of Naomi and Elimelech married women from Moab. And that was a pretty big deal because you'll recall that the Israelites were often focused on maintaining their communal identity. Now, we don't know exactly when this book was written, but there's evidence that suggests it was written after the reforms that were introduced by Ezra and Nehemiah, which was when the Jews returned to Judah to rebuild their community. And there was a focus on everybody remaining pure and sticking with their own kind. And this book seems to be a rejoinder against that. And it did make me feel good about the banner we have hanging in front of our church. Immigrants can play a really important role in the community. But more important than the role they play, they are God's children. They live and they love and they hope and they hurt. And they're people just like you and me. So as we look at this story from Ruth and we think about what she's done, you remember that earlier in the book, Naomi had told her that she should stay back in Moab along with her sister. And her sister stayed back. But Ruth said, no, I'm going with you. And your God is my God. Your people are my people. And she made this vocal declaration of her family solidarity. And she wanted to be part of Naomi's life. So she went with her back to the land she came from, that Naomi came from. And there, they needed to glean at the edge of fields. Now, gleaning is a biblical practice in which people were who had no resources could go and collect crops from the end of somebody's field. There were no trespassing signs, nothing that would keep somebody out. And that was a nod to Israel's recognizing that they had that land, not because of anything they had done, but because it was given to them by God. And there's this really important concept in ancient Israel known as Nahalah, which is the portion, and the lots were drawn, and everybody was given a family plot when the people moved into the Holy Land. That was a theory, but it was a good theory. Theoretically, nobody was supposed to be alienated from their family land. There was always supposed to be room on it for a descendant. And what we see going on here is a description of the Levirate marriage in which Boaz, the kinsman of Naomi, would marry Ruth. And then Ruth would have some security and the family line. Now, if you read the whole book, you'll see that there was another kinsman. We don't know his name. And he had first dibs, so to speak. And Boaz wanted him to have his shot to take up the responsibility. And this kinsman, whose name we don't know, which in and of itself is an interesting feature of the book, had no interest in marrying Ruth. So Boaz married Ruth, and of course she had children, including the people who were ancestors of David, and she had security in her life. Boaz is an interesting character, but he's not as interesting to us as Ruth. And if we look at Ruth, we see that Boaz could be seen as Redeemer. And the Christian church, the big Redeemer is Jesus. Now, some people in the church read the Hebrew Bible as foretelling what is going to happen in the New Testament. I don't think that works. I don't think it's fair. And frankly, there's a term floating around that you probably heard about cultural appropriation. I think people take that too far. But when we look at the Hebrew Bible, that is what we do in the Christian church. We appropriate the Hebrew Bible and we interpret it to suit our theological needs. And I think we need to be careful when we do that. I'm not saying that we should not believe in the New Testament and what it says there, and people were going to look at Scripture and try to interpret it through Jesus. But I don't think God is giving us all sorts of hidden messages that need to be decoded. I think God has more confidence in us to live faithfully and to do so based on the teachings of Jesus. But as we look this book of Ruth. And as we try to think about it and draw some lessons for today, I'll say that there are a couple. The first is that immigrants are important. They are part of the community. And if we're going to do things right, we are going to welcome them into our communities and become neighbors to them and get to know them. There's also something about the provision for people who don't have. And this idea of gleaning has a lot to say for it. Of course, most of us don't have fields, and we don't have a place where we can eat crops for folks. But we do support programs that help the wider community. And I give thanks that the folks in this church have wanted to do this over the years and continue to want to do that, and recognize that helping our neighbors isn't following some political agenda. It is reading scripture faithfully. If you read the story, it seems almost like an archetypal princess gets the prince story. And I'm surprised that it's not been turned into some kind of Disney film. But it's not meant to be that. The story isn't meant to show that women need men to take care of them. But we do need to take care of one another. And we do need to be thoughtful about one another. And we do need to give thanks to God for working in strange, mysterious ways to help furtherance of building up this kingdom. Would you please join me in prayer? Dear God, we thank you for the story of Ruth and for the ways it can make us think. We thank you for the stories of the New Testament, which also should make us think, and all of which should help us grow closer to you.